Welcome to another episode of The Heart of the Matter. I'm Sherry Winkleman, Associate Market Executive for the Mid-Atlantic Market at UBS Financial Services, and I can be reached at 410-771-3145. My guest today is Elijah Dornrich, a financial advisor in our UBS Philadelphia office. He can be reached at 215-496-2089. Hello, Elijah.
Hi, happy to be here.
I just want to get right into it. We're talking about the heart of the matter, and I'm just curious about starting from the beginning. What drew you to working with business owners? And at what point did you realize this was where you could make the greatest impact?
Thanks so much. Really happy to be here with you. Well, it happened after I was already in the industry for a little while. You know, I think when you start out in the industry, you're necessarily a generalist. You're figuring it all out. You just want to know wherever the business is going to come from. And so you want to meet new clients. But then a certain point in your progression, you start thinking, okay, where can I make the biggest impact? Where is this really going to be fulfilling for me? And where can I resonate most with clients? And I was lucky enough to have a colleague at that time who said, look, why don't you go through an exercise? Why don't you look at all your clients? Because now I had been in the industry for a while and I had clients. And why don't you pick out the clients that you really love working with? Pick out 10. Select 10 that you like want to take their calls. I know you like working with all your clients, but pick out the best 10. Pick out the ones that really get your juices going, gets your energy up. And I went through that exercise, and no surprise, it really was quite revealing because I looked at the 10 and 9 out of the 10 were business owners. And I had not set out to build a business owner practice or focus or have a vertical or anything like that. But when I looked at that, I realized they all shared a lot of qualities. That was one of them. And then beyond that, they were just all really dynamic people. And so I had gotten a lot of suggestions along the way as I had scaled my practice. People said to me, oh, Elijah, you're on a lot of boards. Maybe you should focus on foundations and endowments. That would be great for you. And I felt myself, you know, when you have a feeling like where someone makes a suggestion that is just totally wrong and you just shrink from it. And I just wanted to run the other direction. When I heard that, no problem with the people who focus on that, but that was not for me. And same thing with a lot of the other verticals, you know, institutional business, a lot of retirement planning. For me, what really was most interesting and what really got my energy going was working with entrepreneurs.
Which is interesting because entrepreneurs are creative oftentimes in what they try to create with their businesses. One of the things I've noticed since working with you and having the privilege to learn your business and learn the team that you're building, creativity is a core principle. It's almost a core to who you are in terms of how you look at business and come up with solutions for clients and solutions for your business as a whole. Business owners tend to think differently. How does your creative mindset influence the way you connect with them?
I appreciate that question, and I hope it helps me connect with them in a few ways. I do think business owners are creative. I think many of the business owners that I deal with, you know, their mind moves very fast. But I think a lot of people observe about business owners that they think big. It's almost a cliche at this point. You know, they have grand vision, they have grand plans. But I think it's even a little bit more nuanced than that. I feel like business owners are able to actually run two kind of mental processes parallel with one another. And they're thinking big and thinking very small in terms of the details. And that's kind of how I am as well. And the way I try to work with business owners is really listening to them and then switching between those modes very nimbly when I'm with them. And so if I feel like what's called for or what they're going for in the discussion is to think big and they really want to zoom out and talk about the broader context and talk strategy and talk about where this is all going for them and what they're building and what the entire mountain is going to look like once the aperture is really big, we go that way. On the other hand, I feel like we have to be able to pivot as well. And if they start asking questions, and these are the questions that all good financial advisors and wealth advisors are used to getting, questions about tax, question about portfolio strategy, other sorts of more detailed questions, you have to be able to really sink down very quickly, pivot, get into the weeds, and be able to address those specific questions as well. So I think it's kind of it's a two-part process of thinking big and then also being very detail-oriented. And I think some of the best entrepreneurs have both of those things. They're vision-oriented people, but then they also are pretty perfectionistic and they really care about every aspect of what's going on. And so that's sort of a mind prism, or a prism on the world, and a paradigm. Just the only other part that I would add around creativity is it's kind of that nimbleness. You kind of never know where business owners are going to go in the discussion. And so I think you just have to be flexible maybe in following where that leads.
There's a lot of people that say, I work with business owners. I want to work with business owners. Yeah. You have taken a very committed approach to that. You do business owner roundtables. I just missed the one today. I really wanted to be there. Can you talk a little bit about the synergy in that room and what the environment is, and how does that promote questions, opportunities, you know, partnerships? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about it and to build on it from what you originally said, which is that a lot might kind of talk about it, or it might be on the front of the brochure, or they might aspire to work with business owners. But I think the thing that advisors have to do, any advisor who wants to work with business owners, is they have to just throw themselves completely into it head first. When business owners go about founding or scaling a business, that's what they do. They're totally committed. They're all in. There's no foot in the door around, well, if this doesn't work, I have a backup plan. There is no backup plan. And so I think that mentality is kind of what informs the work that we do. You know, when I first made the decision now many years ago to say, this is going to be my world, these are my people, this is who I want to work with, I threw myself in completely. And so what that means is not just the business owners themselves, but all the things that are relevant to them. So what are the things that are relevant to business owners? Well, it's strategy, it's people, it's capital, it's M&A, it's ultimately wealth management and the tax questions that go with that. And so what I sought to do was just like completely immerse myself in that world. I joined the Association for Corporate Growth. I got to know the private equity world really well. I got to know investment bankers really well. I got to know all the different kinds of service providers. And so I've always been a convener. Even before I was in this industry, I always brought people together and liked having salons and things like that. So this is kind of a version of that when I do a business owners roundtable. What I'm trying to create in the room is, I guess, a combination of a couple things. You know, first, it has to be virtually all business owners, because if it's not a room of others like them where they feel they can exchange ideas and have a safe space, it's not really working. So 95% of the people in the room have a business and probably a middle market business that's somewhat well established. And then secondarily, these are panel events, and the panel has to be not just like a little bit good or like thrown together from just who I might know or who I might have run into like in networking or the estate planning council. There has to be like real work done for months leading up to that to get a panel, which is a complete home run. If they're not people from our city, if that right investment banker to bring into the panel has to come in from out of town, then they have to come in from out of town. If I have to work extra hard to get a couple of entrepreneurs on the panel who have really been through it before, maybe a really large transaction or maybe multiple really large transactions, just do the work to get the really highest quality people in the room, because everybody feels that. And everybody has tons of choices for what to do with their time, and they don't have enough time. So if they're going to make that commitment to come once for 2 hours, they better get huge ROI on that time. Right. And so that guides like everything that I'm doing with my team as we put together these roundtables, is it just should be a really rich, substantive, rewarding couple of hours where people are coming away with something and hopefully multiple things. Maybe they're getting some wisdom, maybe they're meeting someone they can do business with, and they just come away saying, okay, that was just an incredibly good use of my time, and people in the room were people that I can really relate with.
Right. So it's interesting, when you work in this space, there seems to be one set of activities that might be pre-sale. You know, the business owner still in it, still nurturing that business, that baby, right? And then there's post-sale, or imminent sale. How do you work not only with your client, but the partnerships that you can make across the firm? Because you haven't been at UBS long, but you have kind of navigated as a pro. Like you've been here, you probably did the same type of research that you've done in other areas of how you work with business owners, but you've really been able to leverage our platform in such a fulsome and complete way. Mm. How did you get there, and how does that look for you in terms of pre and post sale?
Those are two great questions, because they're, yeah, two questions embedded in one. One has to do with the business owner, him or herself, which is their journey and how we partner around that. And then also how we leverage the firm. And what I'll say about the first part is we really articulate to the business owners that we're interested in both halves of that discussion. And that's important. And if you think about it, it is pretty differentiated, because the way we get paid, let's just be honest, as wealth advisors, is on managing wealth. So we're actually not really getting paid anything or nothing at all in any kind of a ramp up to a transaction, certainly for months, often for years. And then if a transaction doesn't happen, we may not have a client. And so it's actually becomes pretty rare where you have wealth advisors who are willing to spend the time in an arena where there's either no guarantee of ever getting paid, or it's not going to be for quite a while. The incentives just aren't there. So where we try to differentiate ourselves is to say, look, it's not just going to say that on the front of the brochure, like, hey, success at every stage. We are going to really act like your buddy, and we are really going to embed ourselves with you and try to create value for you. And frankly, we're just going to act like we don't care what the outcome is. We're just going to act like karma is our reward. And obviously, we're capitalists. We want to build a business, and our reward will be if they monetize that business and then hire us. But this is exactly the way I speak directly to them. And I say, look, you're kind of in our funnel, just like you have a sales funnel. And you may never really get to the bottom, and that's okay. I'm still going to help you, and I'm still going to try to do everything I possibly can for you, and it's going to come back around. And I think they feel that, and it's not just something we say. They start saying, oh my God, this guy did so much for me, and he introduced me to fill in the blank. My trusted attorney, who now has like totally changed the way we manage risk in our business, or he introduced me to two clients, or fill in the blank, or he did a bunch of pre-transaction work for me, and he's just totally committed with his team in a way that makes me understand that these guys are serious. And that ties to your second question, because the whole reason we came to UBS was resources. The brand is great. You don't go to a firm if you want to have a good brand that doesn't have a good brand. So that just like that box has to be checked. But that's not why you come to the firm, for the brand. Like you check that box, then you try to figure out, okay, is this going to be a platform that if I'm partnered with the platform, this is going to serve my clients optimally? And so we vetted that. We looked at UBS and we said, okay, what are all the dimensions of UBS that we're going to be able to call upon? And I really knew that when I arrived here, and you're right, it wasn't that long ago, a little over 2 years ago, that a lot of the work that I was going to be doing was going to be internal to UBS. It was going to be internal networking. And I say to my team, like in the first 2 years, I probably did 2 internal networking calls a day.
Wow.
Yeah, literally. And I think I discovered a new thing that UBS can do for our clients virtually every day. I don't know about for 2 years, but for certainly the first year, right? And it could be everything across lending to swaps to cross-border solutions that we have. I mean, I was helping a client in Dubai a couple of months ago. I did not expect to have to solve that problem. But the marriage is that we've got clients with complex needs. You've got a firm with huge resources, but they don't need all of the resources. They just need the curated ones that they need in that moment, customized to them. We're that linkage. And in order to do that in a way that is going to serve them and is going to be efficient, we already have to know everything that's going on within the firm. So we just kind of sought to do that. And we're still peeling back that onion and solving problems every day.
You know, thank you for that. It's interesting to me in terms of where we started on this is talking about how you came to identify business owners was the segment, the group of human beings that you wanted to work with, that you wanted to help. And you do it even when maybe there's not right away any type of financial benefit, but it is something that you're so passionate about. And I've seen that, you know, obviously, you know, why I asked you to be on the podcast, because I've the passion for this group of professionals to work with. You really try to understand what their struggles are, what they need to solve for, and still come through. It's just, it's interesting to me. And I'd be further interested in understanding your creativity, how this kind of aligns with that, how that plays in when you're giving financial advice. You know, how does that work?
Maybe in a few ways. I mean, one way has to do with people. I mean, business owners that scale know that a big part of it is about the people. That's like a cliche at this point, but they know that like they have to be surrounded by talent because that gives them leverage. So you hear over and over from great executives, I want to surround myself with people that are smarter than me, right? And so what they're doing is they're saying, okay, I might be pretty good in the financial function, pretty good in the ops, pretty good in the people, but I'm going to get people that are 100 feet deep in each of those functions and I'm going to work that. Okay. The exact same thing is true as they start to think about going from entrepreneur to investor, as they start going from all of my wealth is in one stock, which is not really a stock, it's my private company, to, okay, I might monetize this in some kind of transaction. You need the leverage to have the right people. So I do think creativity comes in to some degree in putting that together and helping the entrepreneur build their team. We don't always do that. Sometimes they have some of the right butts in the right seats. Sometimes they don't, but we always ask the question and we try to help them really take a step back and think through, I don't need too many advisors. I don't need too many consultants, but I just do need enough that are the right ones in each function that are people that I can trust, that are really excellent, that are really experienced. This isn't just their second or their third rodeo. Like they've done this 50 or 100 times, what I'm thinking about doing, which is often a transaction. And I'm going to get those people into place and then I'm going to start to prepare. And so I do think there's some creativity that comes with partnering with them on that, helping them think through that process, helping them identify the people, sometimes sitting with them in those meetings, filling in gaps of questions they may not be asking, just like obviously they're going to ask questions that we don't, and just kind of linking arms with them and running a process. You know, we're really process oriented, but we try to see where the gaps are. So again, maybe that's your creative word, is just kind of seeing gaps, seeing what's missing, poking and prodding for where there might be, you know, issues to solve. And we just, you know, we try to be their partner.
Thank you. I am also interested, as you are deepening these relationships. You know, business owners have a lot on their minds. There's a lot riding on their ability to achieve their goals and helping, you know, employees. Curious how you create space for the business owners to kind of speak through what really keeps them up at night and how you kind of talk through that with them and provide some way forward and some peace through that process.
Well, the answer is very carefully, because you're right. You're striking a delicate balance there, because business owners, the ones we work with, are really busy. Sure, there may be some businesses out there where it's just sort of like, oh, this is great. I can just sort of put my fishing pole out and put my feet up and cruise. But those don't tend to be the people that we end up working with. They're incredibly busy scaling a business. On top of that, in many cases, they're undergoing some sort of capital event, which is a whole second job. So then, God forbid, they have a family or something like that on top of that, their bandwidth is pretty much full. So we have to strike a balance. We don't want to be too intrusive in their world and basically, you know, disrupt their world. On the other hand, if they establish to us that what we are going to talk to them about is important, they have to opt in. If they say it's not important, okay, it's not important, let's revisit down the road. But if they say it is important, then the next question is, you know, how much of a squeaky wheel do you want me to be? And how much do you want our team to be kind of an extension of your staff and to kind of be in your face and project manage this and move the ball down the field? And what are going to be kind of the touch points and what are going to be the goals and what are we going to accomplish when? When are you going to have these people in place? When are you going to have this trust planning in place or whatever those different stages are? And again, if they opt into that, then we will not be a stranger. I mean, we figure out a way, and that's whether it's, you know, they hear from me when I'm in the car or when I know they're going to be in the car, or sorry, but if you put a Calendly link in your email signature, I just may use it and put time on your calendar. And so, you know, we find a way to get in front of them. And the last thing I'll say on that is a benefit. I mean, we always say to clients, us engaging with you and vice versa, it's going to be a benefit. We're going to uncover some things. And in our world, which is a very high stakes financial world, that one question we ask, or that one serendipitous moment where we decided to spend 15 minutes together while we were in the car and you said, oh yeah, I was meaning to ask, that could have 7 digits attached to it in terms of a swing on tax one way or the other, or an introduction that ends up really moving the needle.
Wow. Lots of conversations, lots of networking, lots of activity. I mean, you are nonstop as well. I do notice that every time I come to Philly. Curious about the heart of the matter, which is when a business owner walks away from a conversation with you, how do you want them to feel?
Well, I mean, I used that word partner before, and that's our word. That is our word. There's all kinds of partnerships. We all know that, right? There's partnerships that we all had early on when we were in school. Maybe we didn't think about them as partnerships, but they were somebody that we did a lab with, or they were a teacher who invested in us. Obviously, we have our life partners. And many of us, if we're in business, we have business partners. And we know that can go incredibly well because that person can be a complement to us, or that can really go south, and that person is just not a match for us, and hopefully we grow out of it. We seek to be a great partner. So all of those things that people know fuel good partnerships, we want to be that. We want to be communicative. We want to be responsive. We want to be diligent. We want to know who you are and what's important to you, and we want to be all over it, right? I mean, if you have a business partner and that person is kind of asleep at the wheel, or that person seems to just have misalignment with you, or that person ultimately what drives them and their philosophical foundation is just not your own, that's not going to work. And so that's the way we interact with our clients and our prospective clients. And usually after a little while, they know, you know, and so do we. And it's kind of just like, do we want to enter into partnership? It's not a contract, right? We can always break up. Sometimes partnerships do, but we really want to entertain it in that way. And we want to get a sense of like, can we go to war together? Not because it's going to become a war, but wherever you are on that spectrum, from like the most beautiful peace times that we all want to going through, and sometimes due diligence on a transaction can feel like war, or anywhere in between, we want them to know like, all right, these are our guys. We're going to go with them. And we advise them to find other advisors that are like that as well. Like, be ready to go to war with them. So that's the way we want them to feel, is like, we're ready, the same way you feel with any great partner.
To build that confidence takes work, takes time, takes the nurturing of a relationship, building trust. Let's turn it to the business you're building, or that you have built to date. We've had a lot of conversations about your team, about how to expand the team, you know, vertically, horizontally, administratively, sales-wise. You have so many different ideas and so much in how you focus on that. And you bring your team into the discussion. There's a lot of meritocracy and a culture of fairness and opportunity. It's a very much that you never just think in the I. It comes to me. It's just so interesting working in the space you work in. You know, you have to have thick skin, yet at the same time, you're always thinking of ways to expand the world and possibility thinking of your team. Where does that come from? Like, why is that so important? You know, because a lot of times people miss how important that is, but you seem to be very aware of that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate it on two levels. And only the second level is the question that you asked, which I'm going to answer. The first level that I appreciate you saying that on is that you see it, and you see a lot. And that's very meaningful to me, that you as somebody in management at UBS has, frankly, kind of seen me. You know, we all want to be seen. We all want to be recognized that we have something a little bit special, a little bit different. And then the second half of partnering, the first half is seeing and understanding and asking. The second half of partnering is rolling up your sleeves, as we just said in the last one, and actually like helping. And you've also done that. You've done that an incredible way in this, you know, short year or two that we've been at UBS. And that has been extremely valuable as we figure out, you know, where everything is at this firm as we get our legs under us. So thank you very much for that. You know, the second part of it is, where did I learn that? I mean, some of it is just being a little older, Sherry. You know, this isn't my first rodeo. I've made a ton of mistakes, as we all have. I've had people that I've worked with. I've had partners. I've stubbed my toe. And so just as I've grown, as I've scaled, I mean, I scaled a business, not a wealth management business, a business with partners in my first career. Now, for about 20 years as a wealth manager and private banker, I've scaled different kind of businesses. I've just kind of learned. And so this has been a bit of a consummation for me coming to UBS. I mean, it's also a commencement, because I believe the next 20 years that I'm going to work from age 50 to 70 are going to be the far and away best, most successful ever. And just so I'm really, really excited about that. So it's a commencement, but it's also a consummation because I'm bringing together what I've learned before. And one of the biggest things I've learned is what you just described, is that, you know, teams are what accomplishes things. And now that I'm 50, it just doesn't feel that long ago that I was 25. And while I was definitely an idiot in a lot of ways, I also knew a lot and had perspectives and had a view on things and no BS. I mean, I'm quite humbled and, you know, gratified and admiring of my 20-somethings when I spend time with them and I actually listen to them. And so, yeah, I do think that's a benefit of our team, that while, sure, I'm kind of the head guy, we also all have a voice and they help steer decisions. Sometimes those are tactical decisions. Sometimes those are quite strategic decisions. And we will make a pivot, which ends up being meaningful to our business. And, you know, to bring it full circle, I've observed that in the best entrepreneurs. I mean, the best entrepreneurs, I mean, are they driven? Yes. Okay. Are they really ambitious? Yeah. But the best ones also have some aspect of humility, which does not come easy to driven people, does not come easily to me. I'm quite driven. But like, if you try to do a little, I try, right? And if you try to do a little and you try to listen and you try to say, okay, I'm not always the smartest person in the room. And actually in these three areas, I'm second or third, you start saying, oh my God, this is going to drive us in a new direction. And so I think that's what gives our team great potential. We've got incredible people on the team. The philosophy is totally aligned. The strengths are complementary. And then we collaborate. And there's the magic.
That's teaming 101. You know, our teaming group would be so proud to hear everything you're saying right now. This has been a phenomenal conversation. I have been looking forward to this because I've been watching this creative mind working here, and it's been so fun to see and how you kind of think things through. This is a podcast about the heart of the matter, which is what's, you know, what matters to people most is how they feel. You're building a legacy. You've built a legacy and you're growing that legacy. At the end of that run, when you think about your clients and you think about the people you have on your team, what would you like them to be saying about you around the dinner table?
Oh, well, thanks for that question. And thanks for the podcast opportunity. I think I would like them to be saying that I and we made a difference. We made a difference. It's kind of a cliche, but if you think about it, I mean, now, you know, all the words have been repeated over and over, difference, impact. But if you take away the fact they've been repeated and you look at what they actually mean, if someone can say around the dinner table after having a single interaction or after years of interactions and having a relationship, you know, my partnership with this person or with this team really created new opportunity for me. They really helped us multiply our value. They helped us scale the ladder. They helped us reach our dreams. We did that together. This person was instrumental in my life. That'll be enough. You know, I mean, if I can do that for my clients and ultimately I can do that for my team, I've already got some gray, but when I've got a lot of gray, which is, you know, coming in approximately 10 minutes, then yeah, I will feel I can, you know, rest pretty easy. And then hopefully at that point, spend a lot more time with my little girls and my wife and it all been totally worth it.
Now that is the heart of the matter. Thank you to everyone that joined us for this podcast. Elijah, thank you for making time today. Wishing you all success. And I am so happy we work together every day in the Mid-Atlantic market.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Everyone, have a prosperous week.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.
This podcast was edited by Resonate Recordings.